Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. We thank you. We can come together today, Lord, to the Word. We ask you, Lord, that our minds may be open, our hearts may be open. That, Lord, we may hear with our ears and receive it in our hearts, Lord. It may make a change in us, and it may produce, Lord, the change that you send it for. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for we know that it's from your word that we receive power. It's from your word that we receive the direction that we need. It's for your word that we receive the stability and the strength that comes to us, Lord, as we allow it to work and receive it in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to continue on the manifestation or manifesting the kingdom of God. You know, what we have been looking at, understanding how this takes place, okay, is there are principles according to which the kingdom of God works. And those principles, you can call them laws or whatever, but, you know, it's not something rigid. It's not something that you can put your finger on sometime or you'll be able to measure, because there are parameters influencing the way the kingdom works that are not physical. The kingdom of God is a spiritual thing. And that spiritual thing has an effect on the physical world. But the origin, the source of the change and the power is in the spirit world. So there are spiritual things that need to be happening to produce changes in the physical. And the principles or the laws that are operating in the kingdom are all in the Bible. And there are not laws that you can do it according to legalistic ways. You have to receive in your spirit and get the direction from your spirit to be able to implement it. You cannot be legalistic and operate in the spirit world. You have to be spiritual. Seems logical to think that, but our flesh tries to make rules according to which we work. In reality, you see, there is we make the work through our heart and not through our rules. And we have to allow our heart to operate and receive that. We have seen already many. Okay. The power is powerful physically, but really the power comes from the spirit world. It's God's power, which is a spiritual power, and goes through us and works through us to achieve God's purposes. That's the way he chose it. That's the way he does it. And the basis of that, the starting point, the key, if you want, is faith. Faith is the key to operate and to enter the kingdom of God. That means believing. And that happens at the heart level, not at the mind level. You have to agree and believe it. But no, it's not only, faith is not only the key to get in. It's the currency that works in the kingdom. You see, the things that take place, the transaction that take place as a result of what happens spiritually, like any other kingdom, you need a currency to be able to do a transaction, and faith is your currency. This is where we have to understand that faith is everything when we relate to God. And this is why, you know, Hebrews says that without faith, we cannot please God. It's through faith that we operate, that we activate things in the spirit that manifest themselves physically as well, not just spiritually, because the physical manifestation is nothing else than a manifestation of the spirit within there. And if you look at this world today, and the mess it is because spiritually there are things and forces in operation that are negative, that are evil. And this is the way God is going to work out to demolish and to destroy those things and to remove them, change that with His rules, His principles, His way of doing things, His blessings, because He wants to bless. So we saw that there are so many, you know, and we started seeing some already. We talked about some. You know, like, for example, you know, trusting in the Lord is one of the principles that you have to operate. If you don't trust in the Lord, nothing can happen. So this is the opening thing, and you trust the Lord because you have faith in Him, because you know that He is faithful. Okay? And so trusting in the Lord produces one thing, you know, many things, actually all things, but basically what gives you is direction, is ability to know what to go, where to go, what to do. Okay, so trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. Okay, that's the way it starts. We saw that in obedience to the word is critical in departing from evil. Is those two things also produce immediate results. Okay, one of the results that obeying the word is that produce health to our body, produce strength to us, and produce also success in whatever we do. You see, you want to be successful, you know, people, everybody looks for success in the world and they have different schemes and things. There is actually the only way to have real success is to obey the word and to listen to the word and to allow the word to guide you. You know, we saw another principle, you know, honor the Lord with, you know, your possession and the first fruit of your all increase, so that your barn should be full with plenty and you ought to be, you know, overflowing with new wine. Now, you see, that shows something that, you know, if you want to financially be successful, you had to give first to the Lord. But, you know, that applies, this is one area, okay? But that's not the only area, you know, essentially seeking first the kingdom of God. So everything, actually, God should be the first. But, you know, if you want to apply in the areas of success in finances, you just do that. You just apply the principle of first fruit to that particular area and you are going to be successful. It may take some time. If you had to give you some direction, they give you some steps that you had to take. You had to really, but you do it not because you are legalistic. You do it because of faith. You know, today people want to just rule stuff and make rules for themselves. You know, and they say, oh, you know, tithing is Old Testament. Tithing was established thousands of years before the laws of the New Testament, the Old Testament. So don't come and tell me that it's something that was Old Testament rules. You know, the Old Testament rules had to be interpreted and applied to the New Testament. They're still valid. I put actually on Facebook an article yesterday on the fear of the Lord and combining the fear of the Lord with faith. How important it is. And, you know, my comment, I think, there that I put on top of the thing, it wasn't my article, you know, I think it was Spurgeon or somebody like that, you know, big preacher of the past. But, you know, what I said is if today's church would preach this kind of a message, there wouldn't be the stupid ideas of hyper-grace that goes around in these days. Because that's a distraction for people. Anyway, that's an extra. Okay, the other one is seek first of the kingdom of God, and you're going to be provided. You know, all things are going to be taken. Your supply, you're going to have your supply. The other thing that we saw, the importance of meditation. Meditating on the word is really what produces health and success. But this thing, there is overlapping. You know, these laws are overlapping because one spiritual component, one element spiritually has effect in many different areas. And so you start applying in one place and you get results in some other. Then we talked about protecting your heart. Protecting your heart is important because it's from the heart that all these things take place. It's there where the faith is operating. And when you protect your heart, all the issues of life are dealt with. So, you see, you start working on, you don't need even to know all of them. If you start applying to some of them, you already are going to get results. The more you know, and the more you are going to be in the right place for God to move through you and to bless you. Because this is God's plan for you, that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And you get your soul prospering as you are applying God's principles into your life. Okay. And then the last one that we saw was the association. You know, who you mix with, who you are connected with. You know, the people that go, that you are connected with are influencing you if you like it or not. And so we need to select who we mix with and we are connected closely with because they are going to take us to their level. That doesn't mean that we don't deal with people in the world. It means that we should not be connected with them in such a way that they are going to influence us in any way or form. You see, protecting our heart is a component, but it's not the only component. You see, what happens is that they, especially in some cases, will make commitment to people that are in the world, and then you have to walk with them. They're going to take their way, and you're going to follow them. And that's going to destroy your work and possibly, you know, put you in a place where God cannot bless you. So we have to understand that. Now we, you know, 1 Corinthians, we can start from there actually, because we share about Psalm 1:1, which actually say, you know, blessed is the man who do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So you see that already in Psalm 1:1 talks about meditation. But meditation is not going to work on the word, is not going to work on you if you are mixed up with people that are, you know, unbelievers. Because their ideas, you know, when I talk about being mixed up, is me also exposed to continuously to them. I mean, how is the world becoming such a mess these days? Media? Movies? TV? I mean, those ideas are shoved down your throat continuously. And they are a perverse idea that are going around in the world today. How do you think it's going to, they're going to operate on you? How do you think you can protect your heart that way? There is no way. So, and the Bible talks very clearly about that. There are many scriptures, not just Psalm 1:1. Psalm 1:1 is more concentrated on the fact that you have to meditate on the word to be successful in everything you do. But meditating on the word, you know, it just shows you the contradiction that is going to be in you if you are in one way following the world, in another way trying to meditate and move with God. You can succeed. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived, evil company corrupt good habits. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, you know, do not be unequally yoked together with unbeliever. You know, he's not talking about, you know, unbeliever are not just, he's talking about believers here are not just the people that, oh, I believe in God. That's not a believer. A believer is somebody who's born again. There is a big difference. You see, somebody that says, I believe in God, has never heart changed. If somebody that is born again has a heart changed. And when it says, "Don't be unequally yoked," yoke is the things that the oxes put on their shoulder to be able to pull the plow. And you put two oxes because they need to pull really hard. But when they are yoked together, when one goes, the other one has to go too. If you are yoked together with somebody making a commitment to people in the world, you are going to end up operating the way they do. And this applies especially to marriage, especially to business association, stuff like that. You know, I had many opportunities to start a business with people that wanted me to go with them. I always refused. Why? Because they weren't believers. They were smart, they were everything, but that didn't make any difference to me. Hallelujah. Says, the commitment component is the problem. I mean, you can talk to them. You can talk to them and share with them and show them, Jesus in you. But don't commit to them. They say, "Well, what can I do? I am married with somebody like that." Well, if you were born again before, you should have known better. But if you made them, if were married before, then maybe the Lord is going to help you through. If you were, if you were not, then, you just better pray. Because definitely it's going to have an influence on you and on your children. And you better get them praying so that they get converted. So, it's up to you to witness to them and learn how to do that in a way that is going to change their heart. And that's a big job. I know that. All right. Now, I don't want to put you down. The thing is, that's a reality that you have to deal with constantly in your life, and it's going to pull you down all the time. Okay, that's why the word says that. Okay, let's look at the way the Israel was commanded when they were, meeting the people in the land that they were going to. There was no in between things, But people think, have the funny idea that I'm going to get them saved. Well, forget it. Not very often happens. Sometimes it happens. And this is why, once you commit, you stay with them and you pray with for them and you help them to see what Jesus means in your life and what he has done. But that then is it's all on you. It's not an easy place to have. Okay? All right. So you see, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, which actually is a representation of Satan, and what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has a temple of God with idols, for you are the temple of God. As God said, I will be there, I will dwell in them. You see, let me say something here. If God dwells in you, it's a big thing, would you say? I mean, if it's real. If really God's dwelling in you, it should make a difference. I mean, if God dwells in you, people seeing you should feel God's presence. Amen. Is real. If God's presence is inside you and operating in you, it should come out. Unless you block it. Hello? I mean, for God not to be visible through in you, that means you are blocking it. Fear of rejection or whatever it is, doesn't matter. See, the thing is, God wants to show himself through you. This is why he's inside you. He's to guide you, to empower you, to enable you to do things. His God is there for a purpose. He's not to take a ride with you. He wants to see you become his ambassador. You become the one to represent him. And to represent him, you know, they have to come, you know, they had to see him there inside. By what you say, by what you do, by your attitude, by the way you react, all the things that you do, they should come through, and just even your presence should have an aura or an emission of God coming from you if you are focused on him. You see, it doesn't happen if you are there thinking about the worldly things. It happens only when you are connected with him and you are aware of his presence inside you, and you walk in that awareness so that, you know, motivate and energize all what you do. You see, enables you to be his representative. See, we are the temple of the living God. He doesn't stay anymore in a place. He comes with us. You know, and I said, and I will dwell with them. You see, and walk among them. See, when we come together and we are really aware of the presence of God in us, and there is this emanation of God, he doesn't just be with us individually, but he's among us. That means, you know, that presence, manifestation with from us, should affect other people. So that the one that at the moment are not really connected should be automatically, you know, plugging in because they get close to you. Are you following me?
Yes.
You see, that's what should happen. This is, we should emanate God. Without saying anything. Now, if we say, even our words should emanate God. Okay, but even without saying anything. You know, there were some people in the past that had so much presence of God that they, you know, Finney or some of the other, they would walk in a train or something like that, and people would just break down next to them and ask for salvation. Just their presence. They didn't say anything. We need something like that today. Especially today. You know, when there are two things that happen when the presence of God is powerful within you. People either love you or hate you. It depends on where they are in. You know, you can walk on the street and somebody look at you like that, really upset with you because they see what's inside you. And if instead of being afraid, we look back and put our finger in front of their nose, maybe something is going to happen. And it's not that we get punched. You know, I always share that the thing, you know, what happened. You know, I got people upset. Oh, I very often. But, you know, in some cases it was bad. People wanted to beat me up. Okay, this guy was on drugs and I was ministering to him. And he was coming to my meeting. And he said, I'm going to beat up Maurizio. I'm going to just... And this guy was big and strong. I was nothing compared physically. And he came to my house, knocked at the door. I opened up, oh, come in. I let him in. And he stayed there, talked a few minutes, you know, and left. The following day, he called me up and said, you know, yesterday I came to beat you up. I got in and I couldn't move. Amen. You see, we are protected. That actually happened. You know, I can, if the guy is not here at the moment, but if he drops in sometime, I'll show him to you. Because one time he came too. All right? So the thing is, you know, we can be protected by this presence. Doesn't matter if people hate us or reject us. They don't reject us, they reject him. But we need to be connected with the Lord inside, the Holy Spirit inside us, and allow him to work through us so that people can see the difference. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I will walk among them. So when we come together, we should come not just in, okay, now I'm going to be spiritual Sunday morning. Amen? No, we should have been charged up all week so that when we come together, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God can move in our midst so that we can minister to one another just by not even saying anything. This is our presence that brings life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, and when that happens, the thing that comes, you know, there are some impact, some consequences, not just the fact that we can minister to people, that we can have an effect. Okay, let me finish reading here. And I will be their God and I shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. And then that's the best part that comes at the end. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. You see, that's where in that relationship, the deep becomes the father to us. You see, we need to have that, you know, it's not just theological statement, this. This is actually experiential reality that we come to. He is our daddy. Abba, Father, that comes the result of it coming from our heart because we had that relationship and he has that relationship with us and he deals with us as a loving father. But we had to work on it. You know, if we have a loving father that we'll ever go and see, it can be too loving. You see, even if God is everywhere, we had to be in his presence. See, that's what's the difference. That's what makes the difference. That's what makes him our father. It's not that, you know, if we are all over the place and we forget about him, all him, you know, remember him, oh yeah, he's my father, you know, I'm going to quote scripture Sunday morning. You know, that doesn't work. We need to be with him all the time for him to be our father. Because he's there anyway. It's for us to take benefit of what is available to us. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So you see, this is one of the rules that it may not appear too pleasant, but the fact that we have to separate ourselves, but that is for our protection. We have to separate ourselves because we are joined in. And he cannot be joined into certain things that otherwise take place. He doesn't want to be involved in worldly things. Hallelujah. All right. So, all these things involves always being obedient to the word, being a doer of the word. Okay, and actually doing the things, you know. Doing of the word, as we talked about before, we talked about, you know, how important it is to meditate on it so that you can work on do it. The point is that what really enables us to be appropriating what the word says. You know, mentally is not enough. Agreeing is not enough. Seeing that we believe it is not enough. There has to be a manifestation in our activity, in our work, has to be coming out of us in a way so that it becomes a reality for us. Otherwise, it's just theory. Otherwise, we end up deceiving ourselves because we believe that, oh, we know the scriptures. What did you do with it? So to the degree that you actually apply the scripture, that you're starting to live the scripture, that you're starting to allow them to affect the way you act and think, then you are going to be able to see through that, understand it, and receive what the Word of God was sent for you for. Hallelujah. So, that happened. It's not just a question. You know, in James 1:25 says here, not just looking at it, you know, that is the perfect law of liberty, but continuous in it. You stay in that. You follow that. You allow that to work in you all the time. You see, it's either it's all the time or hit and miss doesn't work. And then they say, well, it doesn't work. Yeah, okay. How serious are you about doing it? You cannot turn God on and off at your command. He is the one turning you on and off at his command. Amen. You see, he's the boss. Because, you know, he's not the boss because he wants to be the boss of you. It's because he wants to bless you. And because the only way to be blessed is to be under his protection. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. You know, in Psalm 119, it talks about the word there, you know. But verse 97 says, in 98 there, in 99 says something that is interesting. It says, oh, how I love the law. Your law. You see, why does he love the law so much? Because it works. I mean, one doesn't just love something for no reason. There is always something motivating us, especially if somebody comes to you and tells you what to do. All right? So, there are busy, but when you see that it works, when you see that it produces, you see it changes your life, so it makes your life so much better than you otherwise you would have, then you want more of it. It's not that you just take it a few times and say, okay, you know, now I have better things to do. There are no better things to do. That's the best you can do, to do the Word. So, it is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than all my enemies, for they are even ever with me, your laws, your principles. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You see, talking about meditating on the Word. You see, it's no use to be just even doing Bible study. You have to meditate on the Word. You have to spend time thinking. Because after you have studied it, that's just the beginning. You just start scratching the surface. You know, there are some scriptures that I've known for years. The more I think about it, the more I meditating on them, the more I get stuff, and the more impact has on my life. See, that's when the power is released, because you are meditating on it, you are thinking about it, pondering on it, working, and suddenly things start popping up from there that you never saw before, because you actually hear what they're saying. See, it has to be your heart hearing, not your brain hearing it. And your heart can have hardening in some areas. As I was explaining many times before, you know, you may have some experience and make you think in a certain way because that's the way the world thinks, but because of what you experienced before. And that, before God can work through you, has to break through that resistance. You ever read the scripture and says, oh, yeah, that sounds really good, but doesn't work for me. I would like that. Well, that shows that there is something that needs to take place. There is more than just reading the scripture. You have to get the scripture to read you, to work in you. You see, it's not you doing something. It's he doing something in you. See, because the scripture are spoken by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit speaks them through you, through your spirit, they end up touching your heart and making the changes so that you have the breakthrough that you need. It's not a mental thing. It's not a Bible study. Everybody does Bible study and there are lots of defeated Christians. There shouldn't be any defeated Christian if you are following and allowing the word to work in you. There is victory all the time. Remember the difference between Israel and Joshua and Caleb. They had their heart open and they were ready to go in. The other one said, I wanted to stone them. You see the difference of the hardened heart. They were just saying simply what the Lord said. You know, the Lord said, go in and take it. Let's go and take it. Well, there are many things that we should go and take and we don't take because doesn't work. Well, give it a chance. Open up. You cannot do it in your own strength. You see, they didn't have their own strength to do it. They had the strength of the Lord that was coming from receiving and believing and thinking the way God thinks. It's the way we think it has to change. That's repentance. It's not, you know, going around flagellating. Oh, I didn't, you know. Who cares? The past is past. Today, let the power of God give you victory over all the things that you are facing. All of them. There is nothing impossible with God. I mean, you know, sometime I'm going to talk maybe today or whatever. You know, we have unlimited faith. Actually, we have the potential of unlimited faith. We can have unlimited faith for unlimited things. The way Jesus did. I say, oh, you're thinking too high. No, that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to think that way because he thought that way and he came to teach us to think that way. You know, people today, there are some people that have been walking on water too, but there are not that many. But he just did it just like it was nothing. All things are possible. If he did it, he said, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to the Father, and I send the Holy Spirit. So if he said that, do we believe it? You know, many preachers, they're even afraid to say that. Well, either he was saying the truth, or he was fooling us. And he wasn't fooling around. He would demonstrate what he said. And so if he demonstrated what he said that he could do, then he said that we could do what he did, more than what he did, then we should be able to do it. Yes. But we had to start accepting the idea first. Yeah. And then start moving in that direction. Because by moving in that direction is that we are able to progress. Yeah. Are you following me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm just quoting scriptures, not making it up. That's what he said. Okay. See, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Can you take that? I mean, you can get to the place that you have as much understanding as anybody else around you. Maybe in all the areas, but in some areas you can be better than somebody else. Because God spoke to you in that particular area and you received the truth from the word and you're starting to apply it and you're starting to get results. You know, victory for a believer is not an exception, should be not an exception. Should be the rule. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. You know, start believing it. Start believing it. You know, from believing to actually doing it, it takes some time. And you cannot do it in general. You are going to start doing it in some areas. The area in which the Lord has ministered to you. But in those areas, you're going to start to see that, yes, it's true. And I can do it and can expand that. This is what God wants from us. That we may prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. I didn't say that. The Holy Spirit said that. Hallelujah. All right. So, let's, you can see that how important in all this, you know, everything that we talk about, everything, we go back to the word and we go back to meditation. Okay, this is where the whole things actually can happen. That's where we had to go to be able to develop spiritually, is not by our own effort. We cannot pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. The only way is for God to work through us, and He provided the tools for us to be able to do it as we follow His direction. But we had to listen and follow His direction, and we had to apply ourselves. It's not automatic. You see, salvation is not automatic. We had to believe and accept what Jesus has done, believe it and act on it, and accept it and start making it manifest. You know, some people do that, don't do anything else. They're just either remain baby Christian or just lie back to the world. Because you know, it's very difficult to keep that working. Anyway, we can see, the watch says that we won't be able to see for very long. We are still limited in time, you see, and so the time is always a problem with us. So we had to learn to use our time properly. Amen? Wisely. So, but, you know, thinking about the way Abraham did. Okay, Abraham is our father, a father of faith. Okay, it doesn't matter if, you know, it's not just the father of the Jews. Everybody that has the faith of Abraham is Israel. So, now the idea is that he can see, we can see from him, from his experience, you know, how long it took for him to actually manifest God's promise. What he did to manifest God's promise. It took him 25 years. Now, 25 years, you know, he was in a much worse place than you are. Okay? Number one, he didn't have any Bible. So, put yourself in that place, and what are you going to do? I don't know. All right? So he just trusted God. You know, all the people around him were heathen. He was coming from a country in which they didn't believe. They believe in idols. So it was amazing what he did. He was evidently looking for. You know, God reveals himself to those who seek. Seek and you shall find. He doesn't say, seek and maybe you will find it. It's a shall, which is really assurance. We had to start, you see, trusting God is where, you know, he trusted God even if he didn't have a Bible. But he had to learn in the process. And he learned by trial and error, by making mistakes, and God correcting him. Okay? But because he meant well, because he wanted to seek and find God, you know, God was always with him to pull him out of trouble. That's my experience too. You know, I wasn't always where I am now. Praise God. Not that I wasn't, but you know that I am. Okay? I see things differently now because I've been meditating for many years. And the Lord's work has made changes there. Okay? Giving me understanding, you know, says I have more understanding than many of my teachers. I can say that because I can see what they understand. Anyway, so we can see that from Abraham's experience that there are things that we can do to move on along with God. Many things, and you know, the things we have been talking about, the laws of the spiritual world, the law, you know, that produces the manifestation of the kingdom of God, those are the things that contribute to our change. Okay? They put in a place in which we can receive. They put in a place in which we can move on. Hallelujah. You know, and one of the things in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, I'm going to not be able to finish all this, but I'm going to start. It says, and not being weak in faith. I mean, you see, where he got to, he had to be not weak in faith. If he's not weak in faith, Jesus always said to the people, oh, you have little faith. Well, he was strong in faith. If he was not weak, he was strong. So how he was strong? Because he was not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. But you see, the important thing to remember, he didn't deny that his body was old. He was pretty aware of what. You see, if you ignore the reality of that, it's not making your faith grow because you're really not dealing with. You had to deal with the reality there and counteract. You see, you don't consider the problem. You consider the solution. You don't consider the lack. You consider God's promise. So you see, you focus. What you focus on, you give power. It's very different than ignoring the problem. See, some people just ignore the problem because it's too big for them to cope with. You cannot do that. If you do that and if you're sick, you die. You have to deal with the problem. You have to deal with the fact that you need healing, for example. But you go and deal it with the point of view of God. God said by his stripes, I am healed. And so you focus and you meditate and you receive and you focus on the fact that the Holy Spirit is inside you and is this one, the Spirit is inside you, the raised of Jesus from the dead, it will quicken your mortal body. Amen. And you start receiving it day by day until the manifestation comes. Until your faith comes to the place where you can appropriate that and you keep meditating on those things. Hello? It works. It works. But you apply to anything, financially, relationally, anything that you need. Sometimes there are things that need to be changed in us before the manifestation can take place. There are things that are hindrances for God to be able to operate and then put you in a place in which you cannot receive. And you are not aware of them because if you would be aware of them, you would do something about it. See, many things we don't know because we are too ignorant, too trained in the world, too trained by the senses. And these things are not sensual things, not things that we can depend on our senses to understand. We have to depend on the heart understanding, receiving it from the Word of God. Hallelujah. You see, he not consider himself, his body 100 years old, or even the deathness of Sarah's womb. You know, he just was focused on God's promises. He was seeing what God has said to him. You know, your children, your seed shall be like the sand of the sea. Your seed shall be like as many as the stars on the heaven. And that's the only image he saw. He didn't see himself becoming decrepit. Hello? You see, but that's, you see, but it's not easy to go against what you see with your eyes or what you feel in your body. But you have to learn to do that. And you learn to do that by focusing on God's promises, by letting the promises of God work in you so that they become a reality. And they are a reality, but they have to become a reality more real than the physical world. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You know, instead of be there complaining, says, God, how long is it going to take? No, he was giving glory to God. Hallelujah, I'm going to have hold as many children as the star of the sky. And he's going to keep praising the Lord about it. Are you? You see, that's the way he was strengthened in faith. He was praising God. He was worshiping God. He was going in his presence and focusing on what God has said instead of what his body and his wife look like. Amen? Amen. Well, I think we had to close for today because we already are beyond the time. Did you get anything today?
Yes.
Okay. So let's make a confession here. Praise the Lord. You see, that's a... We believe with our heart and we speak with our mouth. That's what the word says. So if we believe what we said, then we can speak it out. And when we speak it out, we receive it. Or we start to receive it because sometimes it takes a bit of time to fulfill, manifest. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
I know, Lord, that you are a good father to me.
You care about my life.
You want to bless me.
Prosper me.
Make me healthy.
Strong.
Physically.
And
spiritually.
And
I thank you for that.
And
I will not forget it.
I will not forget.
I will keep praising you.
Believing
that I can receive it.
That I can
manifest
your word
in my life. And so today,
I want to thank
you. And I will not look at my circumstances,
my
situations, my
lacks,
my things that
I need,
that I cannot do myself.
Because
I know
that
you can do all things.
And
those who believe in you
can
do all things
also
in Jesus' name.
And
just I thank you for that, and I'll keep praising you,
giving glory to
you, because I'm going to be manifesting
your promises
in my life.
In
Jesus' name,
amen.
Praise the Lord.